tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Yeah. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, After Buzzers, and welcome to another fine After Buzz session. Woo! Shondaland's doing it again. I gotta give it up to her. This is the first episode, first season of How to Get Away with Murder, starring Viola Davis. I'm your host, Thaddeus Massey, and joining me today is...
Hi guys, Jillian Leff.
Hey, JB Zimmerman.
Hey guys, I'm Steph Z.
And if you guys know, I took that pregnant pause is because you guys saw the first episode just like we did. And wow, I think we're kind of in for it. Shonda, like I said, is hitting us over the head with another goodie.
Yeah.
Show.
I think before we get started, we just want to make sure that we know that the show has not aired yet on the West Coast. So if you guys are watching, you might get a little spoiled.
Yeah, there's a few spoilers in here, so you guys just kind of...
A few? We're recapping it. We're breaking it down.
If you haven't watched it yet, maybe you wait until tomorrow for YouTube.
Right. Yeah, hit us
or download on iTunes, listen to it right afterwards.
Exactly.
Thumbs up.
Pace yourselves.
And we will be coming up with some nicknames and stuff. We were talking about it, and you guys can actually call in 424-253-0504. If you guys have any suggestions or questions or want to add your tidbits, we saw the show a second ago, just like you guys more than likely did. So let's just get right into the episode. Murder. It starts off with murder. It's a bloody instrument, and you've got, five law students in the woods trying to figure out how to bury a body, but they can't do it because the ground is frozen because of the time of year it is. And they're located where? In Philly, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe so. Well, I think they're trying to... They have to figure out if they're going to move this body or not. And it comes down to, a coin toss. Because two of them are like, we're out of here. Leave that thing there.
Yeah.
And the other two are like, no, we got to move it and get rid of the evidence.
It is just four of them.
Yeah, I think it's four of them. Yeah. So that's a very interesting start. And then, of course, we get, the 3 months prior starts going in. So.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I liked how they started with a little bit of action and suspense, and then they brought it back to 3 months before to see how they ended up. Because, I didn't really expect that. I thought they were going to, just kind of lead us in and take us on the journey with the kids and then see how things ramp up. It started off, up here, and then it went back.
One thing that we need to realize with this show, which I think it's really important for all you viewers to realize, if you blink, you will miss it.
Yeah.
There are so many things that if you don't pay attention, it's going to go right over your head.
Good point.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of editing techniques. I mean, the jumping into the future, they kind of flash forward. There's a lot of stuff going on, and I feel like if you're not paying attention, like you just said, you'll miss the timeline of when things happen.
Yeah. That's a fun that's actually kind of fun when they do that.
I love it. And it is. In the beginning I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm alone with this, but I felt like we were getting a little bit of hand-holding in the beginning, and it was it was boom, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, get ready, try and figure it out like we all are.
Right.
So I don't know, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, so, we're all kind of really excited about it.
I left the episode with chills.
Right.
Yeah, there's so much that was revealed in this episode. Yeah. At the same time, I still have so many questions. So,
yeah, there's a lot. Crazy. I mean, obviously they're going to get into it, and we'll see how this all unfolds, but... just jumping from, the four students on a murder. Well, I don't know if that's the murder scene or we don't know. We just know they're hovering over a body, deliberating on what they're going to do with it.
With the statue,
which I guess I'm assuming is the murder weapon. And
right, it looks pretty bloody.
It was pretty bloody.
So which then we know that one of them get that.
Yeah, that's the reward.
Well, yeah, that's the reward. Yeah.
But at the same time, they were still in the house, though. So I think that's where she keeps it. Maybe they just went to the go-to thing that they've...
So now, I'm not a law student. I know neither... And no one else are law students. But what is the figure called with the weights?
The Lady of Justice? Is it called the Justice
Scales? It's escaping my mind, but I thought that the Justice Scales. Okay, so let's just call it that. Very ironic that the Scales of Justice are being used as a murder weapon.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because...
There's a lot of irony as far as justice is concerned in this episode, though, which is really funny.
Yeah.
Let's start off with Wesley Gibbons being this complete fish out of water and then being called out in class when he shows up in a class. You know, your first day of law school. And you see Viola Davis, and I love the opening shot, how she walks in, and you see her back. Like, it's not an opening shot of her face, it's an opening shot of her back walking into the room, and she just, you can tell, she, like, owns the room. It's like, just that they're already setting up this position of power from her entry.
Right.
Like, she's followed. Like, this is somebody who's a leader, and she commands the room.
I got a very, and you guys will learn this about me, I love girly things. I got a very Devil Wears Prada vibe from that. You know, everyone knew that she was coming.
Oh, I see that.
She was a force. Yeah. You know, everyone has heard stories about her. Everyone knows her. Everyone got the email, except for Wesley. And, you know, they were prepared for thunder.
Right. Well, it seems like she has quite a reputation. I mean, when Wesley was kind of picking up papers, he was like, oh, you know, I didn't do, like, there was homework. And he was like, oh, wow, you are not going to survive this class at all.
Right.
So, you know, I think the general vibe is, because it was day one for everybody. And for them to be so sure, I mean, obviously an email didn't explain that to them. It's pretty well known that she's a tough cookie.
Yeah, they heard about her.
What I like about the opening scene is that in so many of the previews and the coming attractions for this show, that was the scene. So it wasn't like you were waiting and then some cheesy moment gave you to like the title of the show. It was like, boom, this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Like I really did. You know what I mean? Like sometimes they like tag you along and then you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. But it was just like, boom, here it is.
Yeah.
It was very in-your-face episode. It didn't feel to me like a pilot. It felt to me like this is just what's happening.
Well, I like how I've never known a college class. I mean, at least when I was in college, we didn't have seating assignments. And I just thought it was very interesting. I don't know if any law school is like that. I've never been to law school, so I don't know if any teacher has those kind of nuances or whatever. But I thought it was very interesting that there was a seating chart. And you have a class of at least a couple hundred kids in there. Right. That says a lot about the professor also, that she probably is so meticulous in how she's a very, like, very meticulous thinker in how she like organizes everything, and she just has this mapped out, like the whole class is even mapped out. Like, who does that? Who maps out what professor maps out a seating chart?
Yeah, like, for a room that big,
right?
Too.
Yeah.
No, to even go back to just talking about the pilot in general, I think that one of my biggest pet peeves about the first episode of anything is that there's so much backstory and so much exposition, and with this, I felt again like we already knew the characters. And again, we really don't know anything about them, but there was just these little subtle nuances that we can pick up about each person. So we have that one thing that we can carry with us. You know, Connor is gay, or we think he's gay. Michaela is engaged. Laurel is hooking up with one of the teachers. Like, we have these little takeaway messages. Or is she? Yeah. but we have these little takeaway messages, and I think I appreciated that rather than a lot of shows that try to dump everything in the first episode.
Right. I feel like, too, with that, it's a smart show. Like, she expects you to pick up on certain things, and she expects you to put it together, or else you'd be totally lost. Yeah. Like, I feel like some people could watch this and maybe feel lost. I mean, I don't think we had that experience, and most people won't, but I do. I feel like it was very, like, this is going to be a smart show. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to give you everything you need, but you better be watching to catch it.
Yeah.
Kind of like that feel.
Yeah. I like how they actually... The character, Annalise Keating, she's actually involving her students in an actual case. So it's like, I'm going to use their minds and use their brains. It's going to actually help them and help me.
Dude, talk about just throwing them into the shark.
Yeah, I wonder if that's how it's really done. Like, is that even legal? Like, I mean, it seems like she could have
a lot of
infinite...
things that are legal, JB.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. She is not fazed by legality in the least. She said sort of at the end, you know, I'm in it to win. Like, I won. That was my job. Which is interesting because she kind of tied it up as, you know, do you want to work for me? And be someone that you like. Like, would you like being someone like that?
Now, can I get a little bit of a Frank Underwood comparison?
Oh. Yes.
Ooh. No, very, very true. Yes.
Can I, with a female? I mean,
she could definitely be in his administration.
Listen,
definitely.
I don't know if she's as ruthless as he
is. I want the two of them to rule the world.
Ooh.
Can you imagine? Oh my gosh. Because I'm a big House of Cards fan, and I just, the way that he is ruthless, but can can connect with people and really get into their brains. And I think that she's the exact same way. Now, we haven't seen her murder anyone yet.
It's the non-apologetic ruthlessness that I love.
Yeah,
I like how they set up the kids that are all like, there's four kids. Castillo, there's Walsh, there's, what's the guy's name?
Asher,
mm-hmm. he's from Orange is the New Black, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have Michaela Pratt. You know, they're the standouts. And, you know, assuming this is like a really, you know, high-end law school. And then you have Wesley, who was on the waiting list. And he just found out that he was accepted 2 days before. Yet, when they have the competition of who's going to get to work at her office, he actually holds his own. And they're coming up with these possible theories after they have their first day in court, right? So now they're coming up with theories about what could possibly be a scenario under which the assistant actually slipped pills or to exonerate her. They're actually looking for defenses, like defense theories, right?
Right, but that was after questioning her.
Was it after questioning?
They questioned the aspirin assassin.
Okay.
And they all question her.
The assistant.
Yeah. And they all get to ask some questions and be in the room with that, you know, quote unquote interrogation, but from, you know, her representation.
Right.
But then after that, they had to do it. And yes, he was clearly pointed out to be the last person to go, knowing that when one theory was said, you couldn't repeat that.
Right.
So, you know, and we're led to believe that his theory at the end, he's kind of just pulling it out of his butt.
Yeah, he is.
You know,
totally. Yeah, 100%. I mean, we saw him crossing out everything that was said.
Yeah. And then, you know, she's still picked him.
I thought it was a great ass pull.
She knew from the beginning. That seating chart, all that stuff has to tie back into she's researched her kids. She knows.
She has.
It's just too, I don't know. It's too much of a coincidence that all just worked out that way.
Are you saying that?
I'm saying that that group of four, somehow she knew what she was going to get with those people. It's gonna be revealed that somehow that seating chart and picking Wes first, she didn't not like if he really if his side is true that he just enlisted for the class 2 days before and he really didn't get that email, she knew that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she would have gotten that he was coming late. Like, she knew to pick him out first for some reason or another. She must have looked in whatever.
Okay, do you think that she was waiting for someone to defend him when she was sort of putting him on the spot?
Originally? No, because she, you know, like she said to Laurel very sternly, don't you ever interrupt somebody else's learning experience.
Right, but that was a learning experience in itself. She sort of set the tone. Given that, like, you can't just speak out of turn. Like, she was obviously making a point to him.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a room full of lawyers. And is someone really going to defend another person they have no idea about and what their backstory is or anything? They're just going to go out and straight defend someone? I mean, she's a scary woman. I would be silent in my seat. Just like, and then talk about him after. Like, oh, my God, you see what that guy did?
Well, the thing, too, is I wonder what the ratio is or the statistic is of how many law teachers are actually active lawyers at the time. You know what I mean? Like, I would think, and maybe I'm wrong, but I would think that a practicing lawyer wouldn't have time to... My brother's a lawyer. He has his own law firm. He would never have time to teach a university-level class as well. So to me, that's a little...
It's a graduate program, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit...
That's where television comes into play.
I know. But it's got
to be,
you know,
a little bit fictionalized. Right. I mean, you know, you have to make it somewhat... I don't know. I think she's just working... And some people are just really good multitaskers, and she's using them for her work as opposed to, you know, the class being her priority. It's obvious that her practice is her priority, and she's just incorporating that into her practice.
I think that what we also need to realize is, as far as Shonda Rhimes and the female characters that she's built, it's important to know that all of the strong females that she's put in the lead in these parts have many faces to their character.
Right.
They're involved in many things, you know, with Grey's, there's the medical stuff, there's the love story, there's, you know, all these things going on with Olivia. It's the president, it's her practice, it's her dad, you know, like all of these things. So I can see her wearing many hats just because I feel like that's how she's always going to write her female characters.
Right. I mean, they're going to be complex characters, and there's going to be many sides to them, and there's going to be facets that show And I mean, she threw us right into the fire as an audience with this character that we thought was one way, and then we see this, yeah, and then we see that, and we're like, wait, what's going on? Like, she's really like, wow, you're getting to learn a lot about this character.
She's ruthless
off the top.
Right.
Is she really ruthless, though, or is she more of a survivalist?
I think
we're going to learn more in the next couple of episodes about really if she's ruthless.
Ruthless with
Frank
no
Underwood
class.
Is ruthless.
True.
Right, but, I mean, did we forget about that? She put the detective up on the stand and asked where he was? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, when it was clear that he was cheating on his wife, who has cancer with her?
Yeah.
That's kind of ruthless.
Is he cheating, or does he have a past because she has cancer? We don't know what's going on with him and his wife.
A past?
True. But if he's married, then clearly there's...
Listen, she's
showed, clearly cheating.
But she didn't
Maybe
only
she has
show...
Maybe she past because she knew he was going to die?
I don't know. She didn't only show anger in this episode, though, because she cried. She showed vulnerable moments, too.
Oh, that was
awful. Well, yeah.
Do you think it was fake when she was crying to Wes?
I think the real tears...
And rubbing his arms and making everybody feel completely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think 100% she was manipulating him. I think maybe she was crying for real at the end based on something else. Like
When
he walked away, maybe she was, crying about what she did or who she's become. Like, she obviously was in somewhat of the wrong cheating on her husband. Whether that's debatable, obviously, because of what happens in the end.
Well, obviously, she picks him to be the fifth, which there were only supposed to be four. Now there's five. They always told you when you're taking any kind of test, your first inclination is usually the right answer. And that's usually how it is with life as well. I think that Wesley was spot on when he was like, did you just pick me because whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And then she had to, kind of bust him in his chops and kind of like one-up him with her being the authority figure and being more seasoned in life than him and just kind of brain you-know-what him.
Right.
And, then just kind of just reel him in. But he knows. He's not an idiot. Like,
he knows.
Yeah,
he believes
that's
I'm not sure he does because his gut is telling him a little bit something different. But I think he just feels kind of vulnerable because, I mean, what else is he going to do? And it's an opportunity for a lifetime. She said, the decision you make now will not only determine your life or whatever she said.
Yeah, your career,
but the rest of your life. You're going to be at some office hitting on chubby paralegals and something else.
Or do you want to like yourself?
Writing contracts. Yeah, writing contracts and hitting on chubby paralegals and want to put a gun in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want to, you want to like yourself.
So yeah, that's a really good point. I think she had to make that distinction of like, no, you can't think like that. But at the same time, I think if she didn't bring him on, then there'd be nothing tying him to letting that out. She has to keep, it's like you have to keep your enemies close.
Yeah.
Your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Right.
I also think they're all kind of putty in her hands at this point because they see what she did with this case. And I think it's going to be a situation where if she tells you to do something, you're going to have to do it. And that's it.
Well, they're going to put themselves in that position because they're actually looking at the end goal, which is, doing well in her class and being doted upon by this amazing attorney who they want her approval and accolades. So obviously they're gonna put themselves in that position.
And it's so funny how she made it seem like the end goal to this is to get a pass for an exam. To gain the trophy to get a pass for the exam. And I would be like, girl, no. Like, you're gonna use them and abuse them.
They're buying it though.
Yeah.
They're going
0-2 sleeping with people for answers. And just like an
you're
email.
Totally right.
They are going after it.
Yeah.
I like how they explained, when she explained how to get away with murder, and what were the 3 points? Did you guys write down the 3 points?
Yeah. So discredit the witness.
Discredit the witness, which Michaela Pratt did by going on Facebook and seeing that the witness was... colorblind.
Yes.
And she did some investigation on her own.
And right. Then, she couldn't differentiate the pills.
Exactly.
And then pin it on a new suspect, which was the... What did Annalise say? She said...
The business partner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they did that by Colin Walsh actually hitting on the guy at the bar. And he was the IT guy and then getting the email.
Which I think we all thought... Correct me if I'm wrong. We all thought was just... a play to get the email.
And I thought it was a play to get the email.
It still could be. Just very committed to that.
And then it was a play to
trophy.
Get some, you know?
Yeah.
It was a play to get some.
JB said he's just really committed.
No, yeah, I think he Hopefully. I mean, that is going beyond. If you have to change your sexual orientation just for a trophy, I think that's...
Okay, I will say this. There are some people who are so committed and their eyes are so on such a prize that they will do whatever. And it has nothing to do with anything else but just that. That they'll just do whatever they have to do. So I think we'll find out more.
We're definitely going to find out.
Find out more as the season, like, you know, more things unfold. And we'll see, like, okay... Maybe he really
wants that A.
He's really just right.
And then it was rebury the evidence was the third thing.
Which she did by putting her
boy toy.
Her crotch lover.
The detective.
On the stand.
AKA detective.
Who was, by the way, Billy Brown from Sons of Anarchy. If you guys watch Sons of Anarchy, then you know who Billy Brown is.
Who was, by the way, like, what in the world are you doing?
Right.
He did not know what was happening.
I thought it was cool that he happened to be a detective also, and it kind of made sense that it kind of fits.
They work together.
Yeah, that they work together and blah, blah, blah.
And also, I'm sure that he has doctored evidence for her because that's why she asked the question.
You're right.
Right.
Also, my favorite moment out of that whole entire thing was Wes's face.
Yeah, Wes's face was like...
It was like three or four cuts back to Wes's face. It was Wes's face.
He was like drooling.
Yeah,
he just doesn't know what's going on.
They probably cast him like that. Just look surprised.
We saw you in Harry Potter.
Now do that. But a little more aloof.
Yeah. That's one of those moments you realize that everything going on is way bigger than you, and you're like, I wish I had never walked in the room and saw what I saw.
Oh, yeah.
Because you think he's going to tell anybody? I think maybe somewhere down the road he might see... he might tell someone later down the road.
I think he's going to tell his neighbor.
He might. Yeah. He might tell his neighbor. I thought it was also very interesting how when she put him on the team and he confronted her at the end, that she actually sent him back to the to his verdict with, like, what did she say? That was part of the three steps, like sending the jury back to the deliberation room with so much doubt, it buries the evidence. That's what she did with him. Because all of his doubt was buried with her argument.
Right.
So that just goes to show you how good of an attorney she really is.
Yeah, she's a machine.
Yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
I just love her already.
Can we talk about this Lila Stangard, missing girl, that was sort of peppered into the first episode, which I think that we were a little confused about in the beginning. In the end, I'm still confused, but let's talk about it.
What confuses you?
Well, let's see. So they obviously flashed this girl is missing, right? So we're thinking, where could the connection be?
Yeah.
And when I saw what is the girl's name with the piercing?
Rebecca.
So when I saw Rebecca watching the news story, obviously you make an immediate connection. Like, okay, so she knows. So at first I thought, well, maybe that was her roommate. Or maybe that was her really good friend. Or maybe they used to be friends.
Right.
And then the boyfriend,
who's kind of creepy, by the way.
Yeah, kind of.
She's
kind of
creepy.
Oh, well, yeah. They're both a little creepy.
Well, the boyfriend
was... Are they definitely boyfriend-girlfriend?
We don't know that. That's the thing. We just saw him storm out of her apartment.
No, and even in the end, when we see them come back both together in the apartment, there's no, like, sexualness happening. Like, we're assuming
Right. They're just in cahoots.
That's what I was going to say. Like, are they working together? Did they know about this? Did they kill her together? Or was it Annalise's husband? Because he's watching the news story, and JB pointed out he had a glass of scotch in his hand.
Clearly trying to drown
some problems.
So maybe Rebecca knows something, and then she left the bottle of scotch, or was it whiskey? Scotch or whiskey? The bottle of liquor on his doorstep to try to give him a...
On Annalise's husband's doorstep?
No, she left it on Wesley's doorstep.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Annalise's husband was drinking when he was watching
the very end.
Yeah.
Right.
Time out.
But maybe that's the scotch that maybe she's trying to give Wesley a clue.
Perhaps.
Maybe she's trying to, I don't know. Who knows?
No, they just love whiskey in the show.
Go ahead.
Time out.
Because she was totally cold to him.
She was totally cold to him. She knew he was a lawyer.
A law student.
Law student. Yeah. He didn't go over there and say that. He just said he was studying.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Or did he said he's in law school.
Yeah, he said my old roommate, or the guy that used to live there was in law school too, and I dealt with his loud sex, so you can deal with my loud music. That's what she said.
Oh, that's what she said. So that's his apartment is so creepy. Like, I would not sleep on the headboard.
I would get a new bed for sure.
The bite on the bed, like that,
and the scratching on the wall.
All right, so she's not trying to sucker him up with the alcohol, knowing that she and that guy had killed the girl, and now they need some law advice.
I don't know. He saw...
It's possible!
Okay, so he saw the star... Was he? He's a football player, right?
Yeah.
So Wes saw the star football player in her apartment. When he came out, leaving they were having an argument.
Yeah.
He wanted to clean up. So this the seed is planted right there. Okay, right. So they were seen together. I'm sure that'll come into play later.
But I they just, could be seen together, and he could be pissed because they found some clue to the murder that's going to reveal them, and he's like, how did you let that happen?
Wes just walks into everything.
Yeah, Wes is just, man, he's got bad timing.
Also, what does Mr. Keating teach?
Because psychology.
Psychology? Yeah. So he was her teacher.
Yeah, he was yeah. Lila's.
And I'm just wondering, did he try to get some from Lila?
They would definitely bang.
She's a pretty one.
He was like, her parents must be so upset, or he's going to be so upset that he can't have her call him daddy anymore.
No.
Yeah, by the way, worst hiding place for a body ever. Like, in the water supply, like, people aren't going to get sick from that.
At first I thought that I was like, oh, he's shady.
Yeah, he was creepy.
I thought he was going to kill somebody, too. Yeah. I totally thought he was going to kill somebody.
And the girl was like, oh, it's upstairs.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks for giving sorority girls a bad name. I'm a sorority girl, all right?
Kappa Kappa Theta.
No.
Yeah, it just seems like so much effort to go put the body up in that. Like, why?
But that maybe that plays. That's gotta play. Yeah. Like, whoever called him or... That's everything else fits so nicely in this episode that's gotta play somewhere else. I'm hoping, or else it's just random.
Yeah, and then at the
sorority house, water cooler guy.
Yeah, right. Enter water cooler guy.
Sorority houses are not like empty. There are always girls swarming around. There's always somebody there. So, like, when would somebody have been able to drop a body?
A party. That we don't know
when
about
everybody
yet.
Is there, right under everybody's nose is when you least
expect it. It's a rooftop, and I definitely think that whoever murdered the girl, I think, called the plumber to come to the house.
But why That's would you I do think. That? If you murdered somebody, not that I've murdered anybody, let's just be clear. But if you murdered somebody and you left, wouldn't you want the body to be in the water longer and longer and longer so it would get more and more decayed and gross so that any evidence that could maybe be on there would be off? No. I would never be like,
it's been 2 days.
Just call up the, as they're going to trace the call. They're going to find out who called the water cooler guy.
As the body, like, rots, it's going to make people sick. And then now you're looking at more felony charges.
Wait, so they were showering in dead girl water?
Pretty much.
Wow.
That was on an episode of Castle.
She goes, no.
That was on an episode of Castle, this water like thing. And someone turned the shower on, and it was red water. And that's how they found her.
Yikes.
Gross. Yuck.
That's pretty nasty. Well, we're going to find out something regarding that situation. Obviously, something is connected because
everything
right.
was.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is maybe the murder happened up there, so they're like, well, we can't like take her down through this sorority house, so just pop her in there.
So let's
fast forward a little bit because they're still trying to figure out forever we didn't know whose body this was until the like last scene of the episode. And they actually decide to have a campfire with the body, which is really interesting how they decide to dispose of it. But I'm really curious to figure out why it was on them to get rid of the body. Like, for some reason, it was their responsibility to get rid of it.
I'm saying she put it on them.
She definitely put it on
them.
That's
what I'm saying.
I'm with her.
I don't know if she did. I think one of them was involved. Like, maybe they were protecting each other, and, like, it got physical, and someone grabbed the thing, and
hear me out for a second.
Or they walked in. Go ahead.
So, the Bonnie, who is Paris from Gilmore Girls, one of Annalise Keating's associates.
Okay.
There was a weird moment between her and Mr. Keating where she kissed him on the cheek, and she looked really proud of him. Annalise said something to sort of put him down in a sense, and they both walked out of the room, and then Bonnie rolled her eyes. So this is what I'm thinking.
He killed her?
I'm thinking that it had something to do with whatever is going on there.
So maybe he's hitting that, and he was hitting, maybe the student's not even related to it.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he was hitting that and killed that. and the guy and the girl killed him. The roommate, the neighbor, killed him.
Listen, we're definitely not going to find out.
No,
for a while. Yeah. At least I don't think.
No, we have to find out.
We'll find out maybe by episode 3.
Yeah, it's interesting. So much was revealed this episode. I'm wondering.
He died in her house.
Right. That's the other thing. So what could have been possibly going on in the house, and then why the students feel like they're responsible for getting rid of the body? And then Annalise is nowhere to be seen.
Why is she out of town?
Unless they went to kill her, and they killed the husband instead.
Oh, God. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Just, you gave me a D.
You thought it was her body in the blanket. Come on.
It was 3 months prior. You never know.
True.
You never know.
It was
the
really
premise.
Heavy, though, so.
They could have drugged this whole series out for 3 months.
Oh, man.
And it could have been all kind of little details or whatever.
There's
blah,
enough
blah,
details.
Blah. There's a lot of details. So, you know, one thing I do like about the show is that even though they're bringing up real cases that she's representing, obviously there's going to be more cases that Annalise Keating has, mm-hmm. that the focus is on what's going on with the kids, like the students.
It's a very good balance.
And their development as law, having legal minds, you know, and just developing. I like that focus. And how they do have a really good balance. I mean, DeShonda's really writing this thing well, as she usually does, but... it's going to be interesting to see how some of these characters develop. Just a little note. I hate those girls that you say, hi, what's your, do you know where? I'm engaged. You can't talk to me. What? As soon as that happened, I was like.
Listen, she means business. I guess I can appreciate a woman that knows what she wants. Although I feel like her fiance is going to come into play at some point.
Ooh, that's a good prediction. We're kind of early on.
I know we're kind of early, but I don't know. They dropped so many things.
So many
things that we need to figure out. I feel like we're going to be thinking all night.
Okay, so the body at the end of the film,
yeah,
end of the show is her husband's body.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We see that it's her husband, and how many of us were surprised that it was the husband?
I was surprised. I'm not going to lie.
I was surprised. They kind of started playing with it very close to the end when they did reveal it. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely thinking about other people throughout the episode.
He was on my
watching
list.
It.
Yeah.
I thought it was either the boyfriend or the husband. I thought it was one of the two. That's what
you
I thought.
You also see that his face isn't mangled. So it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not revealed how he was killed.
Well, he's still bloody, I think.
Yeah.
I think they just bopped him on the head. Yeah.
Like a blunt object.
Oh, his thing was bloody. You're
yeah.
Right.
So they probably just hit him over the head and it was a wrap for him.
Yeah. That, I mean, it's like solid brass. That's that.
Yeah. So I guess they won't be having any babies after all.
Yep. Not
so
looking good.
Sad.
She's
going to
be pregnant
good.
With somebody else.
Ooh.
Oh.
Maybe she is already.
Detective. Who knows?
Oh my gosh. Okay, do you guys want to go to news and gossip or you want to say about the show?
Let's news, get news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, there was a controversial article that came up that Jillian and Steph Z are going to go into.
Yeah, why don't
so you want me to take it away?
You start. I'll add in some stuff.
Yeah, so the article was in the New York Times, and it pretty much, I think one of the big quotes that everyone's been talking about, instead of calling this show How to Get Away with Murder, they were saying that Shonda Rhimes could have done a show of her life pretty much called How to Get Away with Being an Angry Black Woman. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty controversial. A lot of people talked about it. I saw everything from, you know, Queen Latifah's Today Show, they were talking about it. Viola Davis was on The View this morning talking about it.
Yeah.
And again, I'm kind of one of those people where, for me, it goes both ways. It's like, of course it's news, so we want to bring it to you and we want you to be aware that things are happening. But in the same sense, giving so much energy to something that's so negative is kind of a waste in a sense. But clearly, she's not. You know what I mean? There was like these tidbits of, oh yeah, McSteamy is an angry black woman. You know what I mean? Like all the characters.
That's what's funny though.
But it is like, if you really think about all her shows, like something like Grey's Anatomy, the diversity of characters on Grey's Anatomy is by far, I think, one of the most diverse shows that's out there. It's been on 11 seasons. I think it premieres tonight as well. And it's like, you gotta be kidding me. And also, I believe we both heard this as well, that the episode that this writer had written off of in this whole article was actually written by a white man. So it was a
he's an angry black woman.
Pretty much.
On the inside.
That's what's happening.
I mean, listen, the New York Times, you know, after this came out and everyone started to talk about it, they really did, you know, editor spoke out. The head of the culture section spoke out. She said that the piece was condescending and out of touch. It saw three editors' eyes before it went into print, and none of them caught it.
No. Okay, this is... But in the same sense, the person who wrote it, and her name escapes me...
Alexandra Stanley.
Yeah, she's known to be this type of writer. It's not like she's going to give you a fluffy... Like, she's known as the person that kind of gives these reports, so I don't think it was that much of a shock, but in the same sense, it was still unnecessary.
It was overall a popular piece. I think that it was started the wrong way. She used an improper literary device. She thought she was being, you know, she thought she was using it in a certain way when it came off in a completely different way. And I think that's sort of what got people so upset, because it's, you set the tone of the piece by the first sentence, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think that obviously it's, I think it got too much attention, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's like really funny and then just keep going. But the sad thing is, it's actually an indicator of where the journalistic integrity has gone. It's like so bad and gone. So, because everybody just needs ratings and they need to sell, you know.
Yeah, they just need to say like outlandish stuff to get your attention.
So, a lot of respected news sources have actually turned to fluff and have actually turned to like entertainment gossip pieces because they're just trying to compete and stay in business.
Yeah. Right.
So, it's just really sad because there's like no journalistic integrity anymore. It's like really, really bad.
Well, I think the thing that's actually more sad is that we don't acknowledge or know or just live in the space that the majority of the public is not seeing this show and being like, oh my God, there's a black lead. Like, they're being like, holy shit, this show looks good.
Yeah.
And so this conversation that I feel like as society, we're starting to move past. Not that it's gone. I'm not trying to say that or make this a whole big thing about that. But, like, we're getting to a point where that's not for first people's thought. Like, they're like, mm-hmm. this is going to be a good show. So then these editors and reporters are bringing something up that would be better to just get, like, leave in the past. You know what I mean? Like, let this happen. Let people grow and be the way they are. And they're kind of, like, stopping the growth of society, which I think it sucks.
Right. That's a really good point. I mean, we're seeing this great trend where all of these shows are sort of getting female leads, and it's not, you know, a wow factor of, oh, this is like a show with a female lead. It's just a show. I mean, you see Orange is the New Black or even Game of Thrones, and there are all these strong female characters, and it's not like a turnoff or even something to talk about. And for them to sort of, like you said, take a step backwards and just drum it up like a controversial thing is really, you know, out of date.
You know what? If there's any critics of Shonda out there, I think she should completely laugh it off. And
she
know what? It's Shondaland Thursday. She has three shows on ABC right now. So,
She kind of did laugh it off. She laughed off the whole thing.
Thank God it's Thursday. Mm-hmm. Thank you, TGIT. Shondaland, baby. Yeah.
Should we do some predictions?
Yeah, let's do some predictions.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Okay, episode 2, How to Get Away with Murder on ABC, Shondaland. J.B. Zimmerman, go.
I think they are going to go into a new case, as they sort of concluded this one, but I think there's going to be a lot of picking up the pieces of her husband, basically, more between them. I really want to see what the whole thing is between this jock guy and his neighbor, Rebecca. I think, you know, they'll definitely have the drinks next episode.
Okay.
And we'll see a little bit more about her. Maybe not as much of her boyfriend, but just to put him on the outs.
Okay.
As a character.
Okay. Steph Z?
I think that Laurel, I believe that's her name, is going to go to Annalise and tell her that she saw the assistant and the wife get together. That she knew, and that her assistant knew that was happening too. You follow me?
Didn't she do that with Frank, though? Didn't she go and she said, you knew?
She said to Frank, but she didn't say it to Annalise.
Oh, okay.
So she's going to be like, your little team here is shady. And I think that's going to strum something up.
I think Annalise knows her team is shady, though.
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of cultivating that culture.
She made a comment to him like,
she's like, do whatever you have to do.
You think she knew that Frank knew?
I think she knew that her client was guilty the entire time. She was just pissed because the client didn't reveal everything. She's like, you were supposed to tell me everything. Every video, every email, every tweet, and you left it out.
But the student wasn't supposed to know that.
Right.
So the student's going to go to her, and that's going to cause some drama.
Okay.
I also think that I have three predictions. Maybe not in episode two. But yeah, Wes is going to find out something about... He's going to get information out of the neighbor, out of Rebecca. And I think Wes and her are going to sleep together. The teacher.
Really?
The teacher.
Whoa, Wes. Bold.
Episode two?
Sorry, there's so many. It's brand new. All
right, Jillian.
So my prediction is that Rebecca and Wes are going to build a relationship, and Wes is definitely going to ask about the bite marks and the scratches. He wants to know what went on in his bedroom, and he wants to know more about this girl because he's an intuitive guy. He knows that something's up. So I'm excited to see what happens with them. I'm excited to see what happens with the whole show, but specifically that part of it.
Well, I'm glad you guys have these awesome theories and predictions because... I don't know, like, for me, I feel like the show should go forward. I mean, of course the show is going to go forward. But, I mean, just as far as the 3 months back thing, I wonder if they're going to
continue
without going 3 months or any of that time period, that those flashbacks.
Are they going to keep jumping?
I don't know if they're going to keep jumping or I'm just curious. As opposed to, I haven't really nailed down a theory
right.
about where they're
going. Well, yeah, I wonder how much more they can jump. I mean, we've seen the murder. We've seen them all the way up to burning the body. Like,
right.
If so that's not
so
the main jump, too.
Are they
yeah.
going to continue with this 3 months? Because they finished the case, but I guess the real scenario, plot line now is, what about this body?
They got three things going on. They have the husband's dead body, they have the girl in the water tank, and they have the current case. And of course, there's going to be another current case. So I think there's always going to be three things happening at once.
Okay.
That's my prediction.
Yeah. That's good. Okay, I'll roll
ABC storylines.
I'll roll with what Steph Z just said, nice. The last one. Okay, so where can the fans catch you guys until next time on social media?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Jillian Leff. And be sure to tweet me during the week because I love to hear your theories. And I also answer in the YouTube comments. So make sure you rate us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up on YouTube, and we love all that stuff. JB?
Yeah, you guys can find me at JB_Zimmerman on Twitter and Instagram. And like you said, definitely comment if you are in the lawyer field. We are not. So any input you guys can give us in that realm, totally, we'd love to hear from you.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at I am Steph Z with an F. And yes, we'd love your feedback.
With an as in Frank.
As in... No,
you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Club Thaddeus, GQJedi.com. And you can also find me here Mondays for Monday Night Football,
Word.
Sundays for Black Jesus. And I'm here on Mondays with Steph Z for Monday Night Football, and who's a huge Jets fan, by the way. And you can also find me here on Fridays. You just moved from Monday to Friday for America's Next Top Model, starting in 2 weeks. So until next time, after buzzers. Peace.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.